Coming at you live from DNHQ in beautiful South Pasadena, California, this is the Blue Heaven Podcast, and the button's back.
You did it. You set up the soundboard.
We did it, Reddit. We are powered by the Overtime Podcast Network. What is going on, Dodgers Nation? My name is Clint. You can find me as RealFRG on Twitter and Instagram, but nowhere else.
Nowhere else. He does not exist outside of those two platforms, guys. My name is Brooke. You can find me at BrookeMe3 on Twitter and Instagram. On today's show, we are going to the MF playoffs.
MF.
That's
MF.
It. We'll talk all MF. Things playoffs. We want to talk roster construction. We want to talk lineups. We want to talk pitching. We want to talk a little bit of everything. We want to hear from you guys what you want to see this wild, wild, wild card series.
We will also be talking to a Brewers fan. He's a Milwaukee sports radio host. You know, Morning Zoo with Wild Wagon. Actually, it's BJ and the Bear. BJ DeGroat. Did the way I typed it. That would have been bad. BJ DeGroat will be joining us a little bit later. And also, I'm excited about this segment because it's been a long time coming. We're going to have our positive correspondent, Gail. Gail's going to be joining us to give some pro tips on surviving another Dodgers playoff run, whether it be good or bad. We got to survive it. A little bit of regular season awards, you know.
Yeah, we had to go back and look at some of our predictions as well from the preseason. If you guys can think all the way back to July, we did a few preseason projections. We don't usually go back and look at them because we're usually wrong about things. And boy, were we wrong.
If you could kindly leave a review or rate the show on iTunes, we'd appreciate that. We're also on Spotify, iHeartRadio, everywhere podcasts are available. We are there. We're also on YouTube, youtube.com/DodgersNationTV. If you subscribe and hit that little notification bell, we'd be ever so happy. And you seem like you already have some friends in the comments here.
People, you guys are lively already today, and I really enjoy it. Guys, don't forget this is a live show for wherever you're watching tonight, whether it be at home, on your couch, at work, whatever it is, drop into the comments. Let us know where you're watching from. Let us know if it's on Periscope or YouTube or Facebook or Twitch or did I miss any? I always miss one. YouTube. But Jim over on Facebook, one of the first comments in the chat said, I am prepared for pain. And I don't know if Jim's talking about this podcast, but I'm assuming he's talking about the playoffs. And that if that is doesn't sum up life as a Dodger fan, I don't think anything does.
That yeah, that really is just like that's right there at the top of beer, you know, that's all we need.
That's top. Yeah, Swag Daddy McGee over on Twitch. We got a shout out. Our Twitch watcher says, I'm eating a grilled cheese sandwich right now, and man, it's delicious. Lucky. I would very much enjoy a grilled cheese sandwich at this moment, but as you can see, we don't have that.
Yeah, we don't make enough to hire an in-studio chef, nor are we here enough for an in-studio chef. You know what I really want? I want some of that former senior producer Eric V. Parm chicken parm that he used to really I'm just hoping Eric pops up then
just to
see
give
that
us the chicken parm.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's in the bubble.
Sydney over on Periscope says Crosby says hi. Crosby is a dog, and that's really impressive.
Who's
that
a good
Crosby
boy?
Can say hello to me, Crosby. Hello, friend.
Hello, friend. We also got Goddamn Delight on YouTube. It says, oh, hi. Hi,
a Goddamn That's the Delight. Person's name?
Yeah, this that's is pretty like good. Goddamn Delight.
Rich Hill's YouTube. Blister is in the chat.
We got Blister Rich?
A favorite on Twitter in the chat says, hi, boys.
Hold on, wait. Hey. I have to clean up my act then.
Yeah, get it together.
Our friend San Diego is in the stream. Thanks for hanging out with us, bud. We appreciate you guys. Mello says, what should have been the NLDS last year if it wasn't for Josh Hader? No, if it wasn't for Trent Grisham, this would have been the matchup instead of against the Nats. But, you know, we don't got to talk about things that happened back then.
I don't like anything that happened in the past because nothing was good.
He also hates things that are going to happen. He hates
Future,
things that
past.
Are happening right
I
now.
I don't like the present. Not a big fan of life.
JT Swifty on Periscope says Jared Carabas believes the Brewers, White Sox, Indians, and Padres will win the World Series. That's impressive. That is a lot of. Is that the participation piece of metal?
Yep. Winning season returns at MyBookie. Winning season means doubling your first deposit. Winning season means Survivor, Super Contest, and Squares. At MyBookie, winning season means hitting all your parlays and props with your feet up, watching your team trounce their rivals. Rejoice! It's time to celebrate the MLB season. Invest in your intuition. Use promo code BLUEHEAVEN, all one word, BLUEHEAVEN, and double your first deposit. New players get up to $1,000 in free play. Yes, $1,000 designed to add more excitement to the sports you love and the games you bet. From live betting to championship futures, every play you want to make is waiting at MyBookie. It's simple. Make your picks Win big, collect your cash. Use promo code BLUEHEAVEN, again, all one word, BLUEHEAVEN, and double your first deposit. Your winning season begins today only at MyBookie. And Overtime is going all in for our listeners. We're giving away $500 cash to one lucky person who takes advantage of this offer when you make your deposit. Take a screen grab of your MyBookie account and email it to overtime@advertisecast.com. That's overtime@advertisecast.com. $500 given away at the end of September.
All right, Blue Crew versus Brew Crew details. The series can go Wednesday through Friday. Fridays, if necessary. The Dodgers can win two and just be like, all right, peace, bitches. Walker Buehler starts game one. Clayton Kershaw starts game two. We'll dig more into that a little bit later, I would imagine. ESPN has the broadcast for at least game one. It might be the whole series. We don't know yet. Nobody's announced. But if not, it's going to be on TBS. But game one is Wednesday at 7 p.m. Pacific time. So we get the primetime game. So that's kind of cool. But it is ESPN. Thankfully, it's not A-Rod and Vasgersian. It will be Carl Ravitch and Eddie. What's his name? Guerrero?
Eddie Guerrero from the grave.
Eddie Perez will be on the call with that one. And they were the guys who, I mean, we all watched that one first game of Korean baseball, and then we stopped. Don't lie and say you didn't stop watching KBO after that first game and after that awful broadcast where they were up at like 3, 4 in the morning their time trying to broadcast.
Baseball's on.
But now it's real baseball. Sportsnet LA will have the pre and post. I guess we got to figure out, are we going to pregame for each one of these?
I pregame for every game. It doesn't matter if we're going or not.
I know. I didn't man up and chug my beer, so go ahead and take over. Do more words.
My bad. I didn't mean to do that. Guys, listen.
Comments, whatever.
I'm going to jump into the comments a little bit because people seem to be excited to be here today, and I always want to take advantage of that. Spring Blair over on YouTube says, language quit. You got to watch your mouth, you know. You're kind of a loose cannon sometimes. You're going to drink two beers on today's podcast, so it's going to be a little wild. Leslie Taylor, friend of the show over on Facebook, says, so excited to see Christian Yelich's dorky face. His name's Pete Davidson. All right, relax. Yeah, he is not good, so that should be interesting. He's basically Cody Bellinger this year. Ooh, too soon? Too soon?
Too soon.
Katie over on YouTube also says, I watched three KBO games, but only for the cheerleaders and the dinosaur. Not touching that one. Yeah.
Again, we watched one game. I watched one game, and I was like, this isn't worth it.
Alternatively, Santiago says that we need to curse more.
Hell yeah.
So we're never right, and we're never wrong.
Let's see. Daniel, one of our fine writers over here, Dodgers Nation, Mr. Palma, says these playoff series with no days off in between are going to be brutal for the Brewers. That's right. What up? What more can I say? Welcome to Ole, homes. Norma says meow. I'm guessing that would be a Tony Gonsolin shout. Daniel's here from Mexico City. Thanks for hanging out with us. Norma says Brooke.
That's me.
Francisco says I'm actually rooting for the Cardinals when they play the Padres. Might as well. F them kids. F them kids. A to the Izza wants me to chug the beer, I guess. You were supposed to take over, but then you didn't.
I got really excited about the comments and questions.
I'll chug during the clip I'm going to set up right now. So here on the live show side, we're going to play the abbreviated version. If anybody wants to hear the full version, it will be on the podcast. And if you're listening on the podcast, here comes the full version. Well, in 2020, I guess for just about any team, it's hard to know what other teams that are in baseball, what they're doing, teams outside of the region here. So for some help on what the Dodgers and what fans can expect with these 2020 Brewers, we haven't seen the Brewers. We haven't seen them in quite some time now. We're calling in a big gun. Joining us to break down the Brew Crew is and you know, the whole wild card series and what we expect out of that is Wisconsin radio personality and host of BJ and the Bear Mornings on AM 1570 The Score. Welcome BJ DeGroat, and the crowd goes wild. Thank you for joining us. It's later on in your time zone, but how are you doing, man?
Good. I wish I was feeling a little bit better as far as the Brewers were concerned by backing their way into the playoffs. It's left somewhat of a sour taste, and it just doesn't feel right. We got into it a little bit this morning. It doesn't feel right. And I think a lot of people, once football season started in the state of Wisconsin, a lot of the attention shifts to the Packers and the Badgers. And most of the times you're just hoping that the Brewers get you to the month of August. That hasn't been the case the last couple of years. You know, looking at back-to-back postseason appearances, this is the first time in franchise history that it's three straight years in the postseason, but it just doesn't feel right.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that. You know, is there any Brew Crew love going on, or is it all pretty much Pack right now?
It's Packers 24/7, 365. There's no doubt about that. But you know, the last 2 years, the way that this team has been put together, you know, the addition of Yasmani Grandal last year, and you know, everything changed in my opinion when this organization went after Lorenzo Cain and Christian Yelich. The chips were pushed in. The rebuild process was supposed to be about a 5 to 6 year process. Well, that was fast tracked into about three, and that's they pushed the chips in. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, after last year and all the momentum that they had going the last 2 years, they didn't go out and make the big splashes. I think they put a bunch of band-aids on some pretty open gaping wounds at first base, third base, and at the catcher position. And it just didn't work out. I don't know if this would have been different if it was a 162 game season, but for my money, at a 60 game sample size, the Brewers are kind of who we thought they are and who we thought they were coming into the season.
You kind of explained it a little bit, BJ, but you were kind of saying as the eight seed, kind of just backing their way into the playoffs, you're taking on a powerhouse like the Dodgers. Obviously, the Dodgers, they've sat across MLB power rankings since even before the whole pandemic was going on. So, and I don't think that's changed much since then. But as a fan, as somebody who's around the fans and hearing from them, do you almost feel like there's kind of like an underdog mentality? Like, hey, the expectations are kind of low. Does that play in your favor a little bit, do you think?
Oh, I would think for sure from a player's perspective, from an organizational perspective, absolutely. I think fans are sitting back going, you know what, this is a team that's below 500. If they happen to do something great, if not, you know, the realistic expectations are, look, we can turn our attention to the Packers fully by the time Thursday night ends. You know, this team has been so bad offensively this year. When you look at any major statistical category, they're near the bottom, aside from home runs. And they happen to do a pretty good job of drawing base walks. So, but other than that, they're darn near leading the league in strikeouts. They're barely above the Mendoza line as a team. And they struggle so bad offensively. But again, looking at this lineup and looking from top to bottom, 1 through 9, you kind of expect that. And then you sprinkle in the out of a different planet Christian Yelich that decided to show up for the 2020 season. It has really been a struggle offensively.
I feel like that's kind of just a plague with potential NL MVP candidates the last couple of years, or this year, I should say, because Cody Bellinger, I don't know if you've watched much of Cody Bellinger lately, but I wouldn't be too afraid of him coming into this series.
So one of the things...
Yeah, and I know...
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
No, you can go for it.
A lot of people probably downplayed this a little bit because it wasn't, you know, it wasn't a major career threatening injury, but I don't necessarily know if Christian Yelich was 100% either this year, coming back from the kneecap injury. So I think that definitely played a part into it. I think he's lost a little bit of confidence, and I don't know if that's whether he's second guessing his knee, but he has been so off his timing at the plate. You guys, you'll get a perfect look at it on Wednesday and Thursday. He is a far departure from the MVP from a couple of years ago.
I like that. Only Wednesday and Thursday. We're assuming no Friday game, and you know, Dodger fans will be happy to hear that. Kind of digging into the offensive struggles this year, Milwaukee's sixth worst offense in baseball, like you already talked about. There's a lot of broken pieces, but sometimes you can sort of look at, you know, especially in a 60-game season, the old tale of two seasons. Is pretty much what we see on paper what the Brewers are? Has there been anybody that stood out maybe in the last few games, few weeks, second half of the season, or is this it?
They did make a few moves, decided to part ways with Justin Smoke. Jed Jerko has now been getting the majority of play at first base. Mm-hmm. They added Daniel Vogelbach, who at the time was batting 0.88. Mm-hmm, yeah. You heard that, 0.88 at the time of his acquisition. And he has actually been somewhat of a pleasant surprise, kind of in the form of what saw him get to the All-Star game last year. He hits for power. He looks like somebody plucked out of a bar in northern Wisconsin off a softball team.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's actually been a pretty pleasant surprise. But, again, you know, you look up and down the lineup. You have a light hitting shortstop in Orlando Arcia, who has actually been somewhat of a bright spot this year. Who has, you know, he's really rebounded. That was an issue the last 2 years is, you can deal with what he's going to give you defensively, of course, but could you deal with, you know, the inadequacies at the plate? And this year he's been actually pretty good. I was pushing from the beginning a youth movement on that infield with the addition of Luis Urias, who had a little bit of a slow start as he was dealing with some COVID issues at the beginning of the season. I was hoping they would just run him, Arcia, and Keston Hira from third to second throughout the whole year, but They've kind of pinballed that third base position. There really hasn't been a set lineup, as I think Craig Council's been searching and shuffling around for a little bit of offense. And much to everybody's chagrin, Eric Sogard has decided to pick up the bat and hit here late in the season. So he's actually coming in batting a little bit better than his 209 average would indicate.
Yeah, I mean, we all know how much come postseason. I mean, obviously in a 60-game season, we don't have any experience with it, but we all know how much riding hot streaks matters. Mm-hmm. I think there's a few guys in our lineup who you look at the Dodgers and you're like, wow, what a crappy season you had. And then you look at the past couple of games and you're like, all right, you have the potential to be pretty good in the playoffs. You might even get a starting playoff spot. So you never know what you're going to get in the playoff time. So it's always an exciting thing. One of those things that we wanted to talk about was we know what your bullpen's capable of. We'll talk about that. We know what your bullpen's capable of. But when we looked at your starting rotation, we looked at everything that was going on with it initially, when we were thinking about you as a potential playoff opponent, it's like, okay, not a bad starting rotation. And then Corbin Burns has to go out and get a little hurt. So what's going on with him right now that you know of?
Well, it's an oblique injury. He's on that 10-day DL. It was odd because it didn't appear when he did injure it that it was anything serious. I think he was more frustrated that he had to be pulled out of that game. It doesn't look like he's going to be available this series. I would venture a guess he probably won't be likely for the next series after that. And you also had Brandon Woodruff pitch on Wednesday. So you're looking most likely at probably Brent Suter going on Wednesday. You may be able to roll a Josh Lindblom, but he has not been great this year, a 5.16 ERA and a 2-4 record. So you're probably looking at Brent Suter to start. I would imagine you're going to have to go with Brandon Woodruff on Thursday just to stay alive in my opinion. But then after that, probably Adrian Houser, who has been, after his first two starts, I think it was a 0.75 ERA after his first two starts, 1-0 with a no decision in there. And since then, he's 1-6. So he has fallen off the map, 5.3 ERA. The wrinkle with Burns, man, his stuff is actually probably better than Woodruff's. Brandon acts more like a number one, like that ace. We saw it in his last outing, the 8 innings on Saturday. But Corbin Burns, we're talking with former major leaguer Paul Wagner about it in spring training. And he said, look, Corbin Burns' stuff is better than Brandon Woodruff's. But it's a matter of if he can get over the mental hurdles that the organization played with him the last couple of years. And he obviously did that. It's an amazing story, really, for a guy that was giving up home run balls left and right last year, was able to get things right, got sent down to some rehab starts, and just turned it around. But it means nothing when he's not available in this short series.
I remember facing because he had came up in that or he was available in that series last time the Dodgers and Brewers matched up in the 18 NLCS, and he was killing it. Like, everything just was like okay, this kid is pretty frightening if he ever gets a chance. And it really sucks to lose pretty much, you know, one of the, I would say not lone bright spot for the Brewers. I would imagine the bright spot being that bullpen, like Brooke was talking about. Hader, maybe the numbers aren't the most pretty, but led the NL in saves. Williams has become something of a folk hero online and with Pitching Ninja and everything. Is it fair to say that bullpen is the true bright spot for Milwaukee?
Absolutely. And Williams, you knew about his stuff, but until you saw it, and you saw it on a consistent basis, you were a little skeptical. And he has been nothing but brilliant. The changeup is otherworldly. I think it has staying power because he can run it up there in the upper 90s as well. So he, along with Josh Hader, you feel like if the Brewers can get to the seventh, that teams could have an issue with that. The other wrinkle, too, that you were wondering how he would return from Tommy John surgery was Corey Knebel. Really struggled at the beginning of the year. However, late in the season, he has come back up. Craig Counsell's used him in some pretty low leverage situations, but he appears to have some things together. I don't think that Counsell's going to go with him if things are tight, but, and I'm looking at 2021, if he can get back right, that's a 1-2-3 punch in the bullpen with Hader, Williams and Knebel. That would make a lot of people around the league, I think, a little jealous.
So I think we could read between the lines with what you've already said here. But what is your predictions for this three game wild card series?
Yeah, the numbers don't lie offensively. this team has been putrid this year. That's even sprinkling a 19-0 shutout against the Tigers and an 18-3 whopping of the Cardinals. But then you also sprinkle in a team that has also been no hit this year. So you try to figure out the Brewers for me, and I'd love any answers. No, the offense is just too inconsistent. And when you're looking at Walker Buehler followed by Clayton Kershaw, I mean, come on. I love my Brewers, but it's an uphill climb this year that I don't think they're going to even pack any sort of climbing gear to get up that mountain.
You heard it here first, folks.
It's a wild, wild card, though. We'll give you some hope here before we let you go, because we want to let you leave on a positive. No. I'll give you a little bit of hope. I mean, anything could happen in a three-game series, man. It's a weird year. No one knows what the hell's going to happen, so we'll let you go on that note. But before we let you go, I mean, this is something that we've been talking about literally nonstop, I think, you and I, Clint. What happened at Miller Park last week with the dude who came onto the field?
For sure. For sure. So we heard about this story. I don't know if it was just a police report or there, you know, were certain reports coming out that some individual broke into Miller Park and I think they labeled it caused some damage on the field and then left. So that completely underplayed what the video had.
Right,
the video is wild.
It's so
he
crazy.
He strolls in. He probably could have made it around the pro shop as well, gotten out with some gear as well. But then he takes the John Deere tractor, digging holes all over the place. I would imagine there was some sort of drugs involved. I haven't read the full report on it. But when that came out last week, WISN down in Milwaukee had an open request record, and I think I saw it in the afternoon. And I immediately sent it to our afternoon guys and said, this video is wild. This needs to be what you guys talk about for your entire show. Is this lunatic that breaks into Miller Park and digs up a bunch of holes? Yeah, that video was wild.
I mean, in such a weird season, I felt like I just needed that video so bad in my life. I'm like, what is happening? How did this guy get into a stadium? Why was his first instinct to go to the John Deere thing, start digging up holes? It's just great all around.
And who left the keys there? Like, what's going on?
Right.
That guy's a legend, man.
And we've heard stories from across the minor league baseball. I think they're, was it somebody out by you guys that broke into a stadium and then stayed like in one of the suites for a couple of days?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what it was.
And then you
got
the Red Sox game with the guy climbing up on the Green Monster. It's just a wild year, man. Fans just really want to get into ball games or something.
Yeah, just great. Cool. Yeah, man, it's crazy. Absolutely crazy.
It's very, very 2020. Well, we hope we get you back to your Packers next weekend and you don't have to bother anymore with the Brew Crew. It makes it that much easier. BJ DeGroat, we appreciate your time, man.
You got it. Appreciate it, guys.
They finished, what, two games under 500 or not one good. Game under 500, whatever it is. They finished poorly. They did poorly. They lost on the final game, but then the only reason they made it is because the Giants lost because of terrible umpiring.
Terrible umpiring.
Who was that? Rob Drake. That guy needs to. I don't know, man. Is he now like the worst umpire in the league?
He's been one of those dudes that's flown under the radar as one of the worst umpires, just because like he's, I guess, not like a jerk of a human being. Whereas Angel Hernandez is like very clearly a bad person, and Joe West is Joe West. He's just always going to be. Yeah. West, there's no doubt about it, but that was a bad game. That was a really bad game.
Notably, BJ does point out that and well, I mean, I set him up for it, but they are the what do they call Brewers are very good in the bullpen. Devin Williams, that kid is a beast. You guys have seen him a lot on Pitching Ninja. He has a nasty changeup, and we know the Dodgers hate hitting changeups sometimes. It felt
depending
better
on the day.
Clap. Yeah, when in Rome.
It always feels worse with the clap.
And, you know, I kind of get scared, like, with a changeup artist being in the bullpen, honestly, more than the other way around, because at least you can kind of, Corey might eventually get a hit against a starter, seeing him in his second or third time through. Yelich is bad. Lorenzo Cain opted out after five games. Their outfield is in kind of general disarray. I don't know. That's it. That's all the positive. They lost their ace starter in Corbin Burnes. He's pretending like he wants to try to come back. It ain't going to happen.
I mean, he even talks about it a little bit too, but I just don't see him making an appearance this series. That would be pretty wild, but it is a wild card. See what I did there?
We're now fielding positions for new co-hosts, because that was bad, and I'm proud of you for it.
I am going to be the in-house chef now.
No, actually, Alexa asked to have that job earlier. Jim says, my brother-in-law is a Brewers fan, and he hasn't said one word to me about this series.
He's just like, I'm not going to talk about it. First of all, we don't get to have interactions with Brewers fans, because as far as I know, there's not like a Brewers fan Twitter, so we don't really get to engage with them.
Yeah, they're
very
called
often.
The Packer Nation.
That's what it is. Yeah, which makes sense. If you're in Milwaukee, you should be either a Packers fan or a Bucks fan. Why would you root for a bad team? That's like rooting for the Angels when the Dodgers are in Los Angeles.
You know, usually when you see a team that kind of sneaks their way into the postseason, cause I see a couple of we got Douche Bevag. Bivig and also Norma saying 29-31, which was the Brewers record. Usually when you sneak in, you're like, oh yeah, we got something of a chance, you know.
Yep.
Like the Reds were fighting hard to be able to get that final chance and everything, and they moved up. They did pretty well to end their season, but we've seen like wild card teams go all the way through, make it all the way through. So and that's how you were trying to be positive. Like, look, this is wild. Anything can happen in a three-game series.
It's three games, man.
Hamill saying that it was, I think you already said this one, that it probably is going to go three games, but we're still going to win the series. We damn well better win the series, because I'm not down. I'm not ready for sad times again. We can't be bounced again in that first round, I tell you what.
Yeah, wait till the division series to get us out of
hell
there.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
This is America. We can start over again now. Roach is here.
Okay. Now we can start.
That's
Thank
important.
You, Roach.
JT Swifty also points out, as part of the Brewers rotation, a former Dodger, not friend of the show, I'm not going to say it because we don't like him, Brett Anderson, has a blister. Copycat. It's not really cool. Kevin is really nervous about Paul Molitor on the Brewers. That guy is really good. And welcome to 1992. Kevin is old, and we're proud of him, and I'm still waiting for my hat. I will be waiting by the door. Thank you very much. Santiago wants to have your spot on the show. He says, I can host. I am a smart. Or wait, I smart am I.
He's already better at the job than I am, so it works out pretty well.
I was a double take right there.
Are you okay?
Marcos is first time watching. I thought Brooke had a mustache. Yeah, what the hell, you coward?
Oh, Marco, come on. You got to keep up with the whole show, man.
download the whole thing. iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Google Play.
Since I've shaved the mustache, the Dodgers have not lost a playoff game.
It's not wrong.
You're welcome.
It's not wrong. But what happens? People listen to this later in the week. Oh, what did you do? You broke everything.
Ah, yeah, that's true.
Katie says, imagine scratching and clawing your way into the postseason and the last day having to play the best team in baseball. I feel for the Brewers. I guess. You know, that, I mean, it sucks because they were a much better team last year until Trent Grisham. But, you know. Melo's being positive. I'm fully prepared for a long postseason run, as are we all. Let's go all the way through. What do we need? 13 wins this time?
13. Seems like a lot.
They had to go and ruin everything. Seems back like in my day, wins. We couldn't even get to 11. Now we need 13? I need to speak. Get Manfred on the phone real quick. We need in-studio chef and in-studio...
Manfred Culler?
I guess it would be a producer.
We don't need producers.
I mean, T didn't even call people for me. anyways, let's see. Is there any more good?
I've seen it a lot in the chat, and it's worth talking about the fact that the Dodgers and the Lakers both play on Wednesday. Wednesday's a high stress day in Los Angeles, man.
Show at what? 6?
I'm going to be very involved in Wednesday's game.
Yeah,
like they start within an hour of each other, I believe. Mm-hmm. Right?
6 o'clock and 7 o'clock is the Dodger game. That's going to be fun. It's going to be nightmare fuel. It's going to be fun. I hope it's not a 1-1. Give me a 2-0. Let me feel good on Wednesday, please. Because Wednesday used to be softball day, and I don't get softball anymore.
Mm-mm.
And that's sad.
Mm-hmm.
Back to you in the studio.
That's us. We are back in the studio.
Kevin asks, honest question, preferred third starter. Is it Gonsolin, or is it May, or is it Ho Kelly? I'm a Tony Smokes guy.
I'm a Tony Smokes boy.
Do you think they would go with the opener randomly on that?
I think that they will do anything because we have not been able to predict one move ever made by Dave Roberts and company, especially come playoff time.
Mm-hmm. So we don't know the rosters yet. We don't know the lineups yet. We're not going to do the roster predictions because that's kind of boring. What we are going to do is projected and preferred lineups because I think that's slightly more fun, and they have graphics for it. Thank you, Eddie, for prepping those graphics for me. He's a nice boy. You want to go first on this, or you want me to go first on roster?
You go first.
I'm going first.
I feel like mine's... Do you feel like yours pretty straightforward, or do you feel like you threw in some curveballs in there?
Curveball's a good way to put it, because my starter is actually Clayton Kershaw. I would have gone CK to start game one. I think he's healthier. I think he's proved a little bit of longevity, but I do like the idea of him being a sort of a sneaky sneak in that game two behind Bueller. Of course, if I was doing that, technically sort of my lineup is inaccurate because Will Smith is catching him in my defense. And I don't know, maybe my only kind of out of nowhere is Eddie Rios is my DH. And I think he's the full-time DH. We had a lovely post on our DodgersNation.com about Edwin Rios should be the full-time DH. And I believe that was Palma. Daniel, I think you wrote that. If not, it was somebody else. But I'm going to go with Daniel. I should know these things. I'm the one that looks through them. But, of course, Clayton on the mound. Everybody else is about the same. Belly, Pollock. This is in the left. I don't think Jock should start any games. He hasn't earned it. I don't think Lux should even be on the roster.
Hey-o.
I would rather give that spot to McKinstry because at least you can get positive defensive value out of him, and you don't even know if you can get a good throw out of Lux in any particular second base play. However, with Lux... And I'm kind of curious on that, on this McKinstry versus Lux thing that I've created now in my mind and here for the lovely viewing audience. Wait, no, I had Taylor. Yeah, Chris Taylor's at second base. Yeah, so come on now. So no Lux is in the lineup. I don't think he's on the roster. And where I can see him being on the roster is like the wild card potential, like maybe he heats up in the postseason. Maybe it's like clean slate, let it go, let the ball fly and see what happens. Maybe. Do you think that's
I don't hate it. I will tell you what I do hate about your lineup.
Keep that energy.
Okay. AJ Pollock all the way down there.
Yeah,
all the way down at the nine hole.
Yeah second leadoff hitter.
I like the idea of lineup turnover. I'm a big fan of that,
because boom, all of a sudden now you got Mookie, who by numbers is not good in the postseason. We get it.
Follow-up question though, real quick in between there, Max Muncy batting fourth.
I think Max could run in. He could either walk and extend it, or he can run into some pitches. Maybe he sees the 0-0-0 starting, and all of a sudden it's a fresh series, and he has a good you know, start to this wild card. He has a good start to his postseason. But I feel better about Max there than Bellinger cleaning up. And I like the idea of, you could put the 2019 NL MVP batting six, and you're like, it's not bad. And then you have Taylor, who's probably the third best player on this team, if not even third. He's definitely third. Because, yeah, Seager. I forgot about Seager.
Yeah, he's third.
He's always in my heart, but he wasn't in my eyes. Eddie Rios is another one of those guys. But, yeah, the Pollock is that dude, or even Rios. Well, Rios doesn't get on base, I guess, and he's just homers and homers and walks back to the dugout. But, yeah, that's what I got.
Okay.
Give Mookie some RBI opportunities, and as the kids say, and Margaret Thatcher used to say, YOLO.
She did used to say that. Speaking of which, I mean, we're talking about Clayton Kershaw. I mean, he's not in my – I'll just get ahead of it now. He's not in my lineup plans. But Clayton Kershaw does have this fantastic Kershaw's Wicked Curve Grapefruit Wheat Ale, brought to you by Buzz Rock Brewing Company. They did send us over these, and I also did go buy some because we needed some more. So that just tends to happen.
He's got a drinking
100%
problem.
Of the royalties benefit Ellen and Clayton Kershaw's charity, Kershaw's Challenge, whose mission is to serve the most vulnerable living in Los Angeles, Dallas, Zambia, and the Dominican Republic. We are trying it now for the first time on air because it is popular. It's what's in right now. So let us crack these cold boys open.
I only did one click.
Oh, I went for two.
Here we go, everybody. This is great for podcast.
Oh, perfect. All right. Let's throw mine up there. That's good.
That's good. You can really taste the bits of real Kershaw. 63% of the time it works every time.
Tastes like left-handed. All right. Let's throw my lineup up there because you didn't even talk about like
it's lineup and defense.
Beautiful. Look how beautiful that is.
I don't know. You're having back-to-back right-handers in your lineup? Wow.
Oh, yeah, I am. I'm getting wild with it. I need Will Smith up near the top. I need him getting at bats. Originally, I was thinking about him. I wrote it out as Clayton Kershaw starting, and I was like, you know what? Walker Buehler's going game one. I'm down with that because I think somebody had said it actually in the chat. I think Katie had said it in Periscope. If his blister flares up or if there's an issue, that basically guarantees that there's a day's rest for the bullpen in game two. That makes sense. The math adds up. I didn't get crazy with it. I will say that I put Max Muncy at second base, and this will surprise you. He is actually rated this year as the best defensive second baseman for the Dodgers, and that's granted it's in limited sample size.
Wait. What's where was Taylor then?
Is he third?
Really?
Yep. He fell behind him in UZR. Second on the team.
Defensive metrics.
Obviously, I think we can both agree neither of us really wanted Gavin Lux there. You borderline don't want him on the roster, and that's fine. I don't argue with you on that one. I like the idea of not having A.J. Pollock anywhere near the field because he is an absolute defensive liability in the field, and that is really tough to argue with the sixth worst UZR in all of baseball. So, with that in mind, this lineup that I bring you is the best defensive lineup possible while also putting the best chance out there for scoring runs. I like Edwin Rios at first base. He gets the job done. I would prefer him at third base so you could rest Justin Turner, but unfortunately for this lineup structure, it just doesn't quite work.
Well, plus JT is the best defensive third baseman, so I'll agree with your statement there. And if you're looking at the numbers purely, Max at two has always done well there. I argued for that in the offseason that he should be that guy. But I notice the big one, and Buehler, you're going with Buehler on the bump to start the game. But
Buell doggy dog.
Victor. Your closer.
Victor, my closer. You see him out there?
The big
hanging
dick
out,
Vic.
Hanging out in the bullpen area over there?
Can we make that shirt? I'm sorry.
Yeah,
Eddie, do not make that shirt.
Don't make that shirt. Please don't make that shirt. I probably should have made this a graphic too, but please feel free to argue in the comments because I would love to hear it. I think the bullpen approach, the closing approach, should be approached with a ride the hot hand method. I don't think this year should be about whoever is available. It's Kenley. It's always Kenley. Whoever's the hot hand, ride the hot hand. I understand Kenley's looked pretty good in his last couple starts, but I don't think that necessarily justifies an entire season. You look at Victor Gonzalez, and I'm going to break this down from the simplest stats to the most complex stats because it gets a little weird. You get ERA, whatever. ERA is not a real stat. We don't really recognize it. Kenley with a 3.33, Victor with a 1.33, whatever. You get average exit velocity, which is a little bit better. Kenley average in the top 1% at 82 miles an hour versus Victor's 86. When they're below 86, it's all essentially the same. Doesn't matter. But the barrel percentage. Do you know Victor Gonzalez has not allowed one barreled ball this year? Not a one.
Look at this. I'm going to do this in the lineup. Look at this. Look at this lineup.
You get into the much deeper stats, you just look at it, and Victor Gonzalez has just been the guy. You look at his splits against righty versus lefty, he's much better than Kenley Jansen, and this is the big stat, and this is the only one that matters to me, and this is the one that I'm going to throw at you and hope that it sticks and hope that Dave Roberts listens to our podcast and puts Victor Gonzalez out there when it matters. His ground ball percentage is damn near close to 70% with soft contact. Ground ball percentage combined with soft contact makes for some of the best damn pitching that you'll ever see in your life. Kenley does produce soft contact, but he only produces 25% ground balls. Yeah. What does that translate to? A hell of a lot of bloop hits, which is what you've seen this year. Lot of them. So with that in mind, Victor Gonzalez, my candidate for closer during the playoffs. Off the wall wildness. Let's get weird.
I like it. We know it's not going to happen.
No, it's not
going
to happen.
I appreciate you going hot take, but like being reasonable, being factual about it. I will agree with a number of people in the comments here being of the opinion of how dare you do this to poor brother Gatorade, Bruzdar Gratterall. What did he ever do to you? He is an American treasure. He's a Venezuelan treasure. He's a world treasure. And you're going to slight Bruzdar this way, 101 mile per hour, weak ass ground outs to shortstop? I don't know about all that. I don't know about going the Victor route over Bruzdar, but I do like the idea of a rookie closing out some ball games.
I like it, man. I don't know. I just felt it in my bones when I was looking at all the stats and all the splits on everybody. It's nothing against Bruzdar. I think everybody knows that I'm the biggest Bruzdar fan that's out there that exists. I was the first Bruzdar fan. You can check me on that. You can look at my tweets. Doesn't matter. I was the absolute first number one Bruzdar fan. Everybody claims to be a Bruzdar stan account. Get the hell out of here. It's me. I was the first. I'm number one. With that being said, no swing and miss stuff from Bruzdar Gratterall, and that's what you're really looking for out of your closer. And that's okay. He's going to develop. He's still a kid.
And with Vic, he's basically like a bullpen Urias. So and both of them boys got some swing and miss. Throw it back there. Let Kenley be a fireman wherever he's needed. Maybe. I'm not a fan. Let's get Dave Roberts on the phone real quick. And and it went to voicemail. Imagine that. That's rather unfortunate.
Wow.
Santiago asks, and I got a sidebar here. I'm a fan of this beer. This Kershaw beer is pretty effing good.
It's good. It's got some nice flavor. I don't know anything about beer.
It's got some earthy tones.
I just know that I like beer when I like it, and I don't like it when I don't like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's pretty much the equivalent of my... my baseball expertise.
But bringing it up, we haven't really seen Victor in the pressure spots, pressure situations. Is it just trial by fire and you hope for the best? Hope for 0-2 Fernando K-Rod?
Hell yeah.
All right. Back to you.
Let's get wild with it, man. Let's get weird. It's time to change things up. We got to mix it up. Kenley Jansen being our closer for the past 2 years in the playoffs hasn't worked out. Let's get weird, and I like it.
Our boy SD Dodger Tim actually likes two of your points here. Mr. Tim Rogers liked Muncy at second base. He gave it a thumbs up or a pass, like in a good way.
If Tim sends it's good. Tim says it's good, then it's good. That's all you need to know.
And he says love Bruzdar, but Victor better, which you couldn't say that any more gooder. If we're being realistic here,
Victor just came out of nowhere.
You okay? Yeah, I would read this comment, but I don't know how to say this name. It's MJ's Graham.
Apodaca. Oh,
MJ's Graham Apodaca.
There you go,
Ms. Apodaca. Because I'm assuming it's MJ's grandma. Somebody's grandma.
Michael Jordan's grandma is on Facebook.
We appreciate Hannah, but we're butchering her name out of fun here, but. That Ms. or Mr. or whatever, Apodaca, stopped by the Dodger team store today and got their postseason 2020 shirt. I was in heaven. By the way, the team store is open. Top of the Park is open. Don't go up there in a party. Don't go wild. But they check your temperature and all that, but it's cool. If you're looking for more details, I wrote up that post on our DodgersNation.com. So go check it out. Roach says, look at Brooke using stats like he's some kind of reporter. Are you media?
I've been told I have media.
Well, there goes all of the hot takes.
They're gone.
You can't do that. No, we know you can get hot takes as we've seen.
Oh, Michael Jordan's grandma is Anna.
Oh, hi, Anna. Thanks for hanging out with us. We know because, hey, Bill Plunkett, master of the hot takes, creator of Salty Dave, you can do a little bit. Plus, they still let Dylan Hernandez in on the Zooms. So
noted,
I'm pretty sure.
Noted hater of fun and baseball and puppies and happiness, Dylan Hernandez.
I'm pretty sure if they let Dylan in, you could probably run over Dave Roberts' grandma and still be like allowed to cover the team. So I don't condone that, nor do I recommend that. I'm just saying.
Tim clarifies he doesn't like Muncy at second base. He's on a midnight stroll, so he's typing quickly.
He's drunk again, eh? Adrian on Periscope says, does Barnes start game two or does Doc roll Smith behind the plate? No, it will be Barnes. Dave Roberts confirmed that.
But
he did not say officially personal catcher, but Barnes is Kershaw's personal catcher.
But there is the chance that they could be running with three catchers in the postseason, which would clear the way for Will Smith to still get at bats during Barnes' lone start, which is good because you need Russell Martin. You need Barnes' bat, you don't need Barnes' bat. Nobody needs Barnes' bat.
Willie Smith.
You need Will Smith's bat in the lineup on a daily basis. I just don't know how to better communicate that to anybody else for people who think that Austin Barnes needs to start every game for some reason.
Will Smith got some love, and this is a good segue here, as we say in the biz. Legend, the legendary Mike Petriello, formerly of Mike Socia's Tragic Illness. And then, you know, the other site that's still around, now of MLB.com wrote up, Brewers versus Dodgers position by position breakdown, the analysis and, you know, who gets the advantage. And, importantly, on the note of Will Smith, he says, it's amazing to think that Will Smith actually got off to a slow start this year. Will Smith ended up with a 163 weighted, runs created plus, which is phenomenal, especially out of a catcher. And he says, you know, that he was pretty much, you know, one of the best, especially to end the season once he started getting some good luck, because he was all bad luck in the first month. Second month, balls started dropping, and you know, things just worked out. So, yeah, that's it. That's all I had.
That was really good.
Uh-huh.
It's a really good contribution to the conversation. I appreciate that. Alexa says we could really use Russell Martin for both catching and the bullpen. We could use Russell Martin for anything.
Yes.
Still upset that didn't happen. Still upset they didn't pick him up. We're not bitter about it.
Not even slightly. But with Petriello's, Mr. Petriello's analysis, we'll throw this up on the screen. The Dodgers win head-to-head against the Brewers, which we already know, by most positions. You can honestly kind of argue, even in the bullpen, if things are right, because we're talking about, you know, Victor and Brusdar potentially being guys that can save some games and close some games, and that's not even their legendary closer, Kenley Jansen. The Brewers have two guys and somebody who used to be their closer that's kind of coming back and trying to be healthy, but all around the diamond, you see here on the screen, if you're watching, the Dodgers win. They gave the edge to the Brew Crew. For Dan Vogelbach, who has been killing it since he went over there, since the Brewers traded for him while he was batting .088. But otherwise, JT, you know what he can do. Mr. October, as they're calling him right now. You really hope Seager, a healthy Seager, can ride it. You hope Cody can figure it out. Will Smith is going to be a real difference maker. CT3 getting a set position like he had in the 17 playoffs. And, you know, playing second, then he was playing center field. Mookie is Mookie. Even Christian Yelich in left field, I could argue, and it'll sound like a homer, but you could argue A.J. Pollock out there, or Taylor, if you're, you know, if we're running with your lineup.
I feel like you're looking at that, and based off the – I mean, we're basing it off of this year.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going off of that, I don't know how you put Yelich out there. Yelich has had a god-awful season. I mean, like you said, he's getting on base at a pretty decent rate, which is – incredibly valuable to a team and really plays into a lot of the advanced stats for players. But any guy that comes back hitting .204 is not going to play up well, especially when you're going to go. AJ Pollock has had such a good year. Like, how do you look at that and be like, oh, yeah, That's Yelich.
Well, Petriello admitted like the greater body of work
over there. Yeah.
Over ours,
which makes sense.
Would be
but also Pollock. Yelich is also a consistently terrible playoff hitter. So
there's a lot of them. Dodgers have a few.
We got like six or seven. So we'll see how that goes.
Let's see. Oh, Anna Apodaca. Okay, now I get it. Now I see. Yeah. I'm catching up. I'm catching up on the comments here.
Joke? Is that a name? Is that like broke, but joke?
Yes.
Joke says, are you concerned about the Brewers' pen? Devin Williams looks unhittable, and Hader is getting hot. So you got something before we go to that?
I just like Ricky Bobby Trujillo saying Vogelbach lives in a van down by the river.
Yeah, that boy is he thick.
Beefy boy.
Listen. Josh Hader is always a guy that you got to worry about just because he throws triple-digit fastballs and has a wipeout slider. No matter what, you got to worry about him. Add in the fact that he's also left-handed, it hurts. Mm-hmm. So I'm always going to worry about him. This Devin Williams kid.
Filth.
Dude, I do not know where this kid came from. I don't know what they're feeding him. I don't know what he's on. I don't know what he's doing. But he is putting up some of the most ridiculous numbers that I've ever seen in my life. And it's exciting to watch, and I'm actually really excited to get the chance to hit against this guy. If the Dodgers can come out and hang a couple runs on this guy in a short series, I will be very excited for the playoffs moving forward because he is, I mean, let's face it, if the Dodgers can get a hit off of him, that's a success. This kid is nasty. I know it's hard. We haven't kept up with other teams. Mm-hmm. We've only played within our regional divisions. We haven't seen the Brewers. You guys probably have no idea who's even on the Brewers right now, as I barely do, actually, at this point. But you look at this kid, and he has some of the most disgusting stuff that you'll ever see in your entire life.
Yeah.
It's going to be tough to hang with that guy. So the good news is he's a reliever. He's not going to throw a whole lot, but he's going to come in big situations, and he's going to come in when it matters.
And like we were talking about either early in the show or before the show, it's the idea of that late game nasty changeup gives me a little bit of the fears. But you really hope that the Dodgers can find a way to put up some runs on the board early.
That's what Tim says over on YouTube. He says bullpen for Brewers may not be a big factor if the Dodgers have a nice lead. And that's something that I've heard a lot on Twitter. People are talking about how they're worried about their bullpen. Mm-hmm. The Brewers have the better bullpen, yada, yada, yada. Listen, if you don't have the starting pitching to make it to the bullpen with the lead, doesn't really matter because ultimately you look at the starting pitching for the Brewers. Who is it?
Brandon Woodruff.
There. Corbin Burns is MIA.
Dead. Yeah, he's got the side issue.
They got Brandon Woodward. They have a few other pieces that they're going to plug in.
Woodruff. Brent Suter.
Yeah, Suter is the guy that they're probably going to throw because he's left-handed, and the Dodgers historically don't hit left-handed pitching. Surprise, surprise on that one. But A.J. Pollock does.
A.J. Pollock does.
So just put him
starting
at the
left
top.
Fielder, A.J. Pollock.
So with that being said, I mean, you got, Springbluff says it, Woodruff, Hauser, Lindblom. They got all these guys that at one point in their career might have been decent-ish.
Lindblom was good in Korea.
Lindblom was great in Korea, but he came here and then it didn't go so well. So I'm not super worried about this series. I'm more excited to see what they can do against the good pitchers more than anything else. I'm also excited for how Walker Buehler does. I think a lot of the we've talked about this several times. We have several articles up about it. We have so much conversation that's gone about this. So much of the 2020 playoff success rides on the success and health, I guess, of Walker Buehler. Mm-hmm. So much of it does.
With Buehler, there's not much to worry about in terms of him like just straight exploding or anything like that. He'll still have his fastball. He'll still have his curveball. I'm now much less worried about Mr. Walker Buehler in this series. But
after his last start?
Yeah, after his last start. I even if he only goes three or four innings with the bullpen, now all of a sudden you got, a 28-man roster. There's so many bodies. There's so many great. They could throw in your closer, Victor Gonzalez, to eat up two or three innings early in the game. So there's a lot riding on Walker this postseason for sure. As it says, no pressure, Walker. He's really going to be the key of that starting rotation. But what we're seeing, there could be a lot of openers. It could be a really different, really wild World Series and our postseason event ends in a World Series. F it, I'm all for it. Just make it happen because we can't be the sad face. We can't exit early. we can't even not make it to the World Series. No, this needs to. We can't have Doc Roberts become Doc Rivers and lose his job, even though we talked about that a couple days ago. But, you know, especially in a three-game series, anything can happen. Anything can happen. So we got to be prepared, you know?
I've never been prepared.
You need to be prepared. So we got to talk about some pro tips for surviving the playoffs. So we're gonna throw to some, you know, it's been a long time. It's been a really long time since this last guest was on the show. She was with us all the way back on episode 10. Today is episode 150 of the Blue Heaven podcast. Hi, Kevin, if you're still there in the comments. Joining us once again now for episode 150 is our favorite Canadian not named Russell Martin, DN's own positivity coach and correspondent, Miss Gail Johnson. Thank you for staying up into the middle of the night to hang out with us, Gail, and give us some of your pro tips on being positive. Gail?
Hello, my friends. nice to hear your voices.
You got to talk more Canadian just so people believe it. So...
I think you do a better Canadian accent than I do, I think.
You know,
it is pretty good.
You used to be able to get away with doing dialect, but now people think that's racist. So I think it's okay for me to do Canadian. But
you do whatever you want to.
You know, all of us here have been through our shares of pain, and I don't know what that's all about. But okay, I'm gonna stop doing that. But we've been through a lot, Gail. You know this. We have been through a lot. As Dodgers fans over these last few seasons, over these last few decades, for the greater amount of people. What are some of the ways we've learned to cope with the letdowns, and what are your pro tips for folks to just make it through, even if we win it, to make it through the postseason?
First of all, I wanted to mention this is a good sign. So this is actually my seventh full year of hardcore Dodger watching. So I, one way or another, watched every game. I know that probably puts me into the high ranks of the insane, but I did watch the 2013 playoffs, but I wasn't as into the Dodgers as I was starting in 2014. And I've told that story many times on Dodgers Nation. We won't get into all that tonight, but so this is our lucky seven. So
yeah, and 500 words or less.
That's right. It's almost midnight here, so I don't want to keep you guys on the phone for too long. But we definitely have learned a lot, I think, over the last few years, and I hate to kind of keep going back to 2017 because, you know, you can't change the past, but there's so much about that series that I think I personally learned from, because, I mean, let's be honest, Game 5 was not a healthy experience as a fan. I still think about the roller coaster that it was. So my biggest tip, I guess, going into this playoff run, I really didn't think 2018, I really didn't think that we were going to beat the Red Sox that year. Last year, I did think that we had a team that was, we should have made it past the first round. Absolutely. I thought we had the best team in baseball. We should have been in the World Series, but we won't go there right now. But is just to, regardless of whatever happens, we need to be in it for the long haul, because I do think that this in October, I think that we're going to be in it to the end, and there's going to be at least 13. We have to win 13, yeah. So yes, we have to win more this year, but I think we have to pace ourselves for at least 13 games. I think we'll probably win it in about 16 or 17 games, because I predicted today the World Series will go 6 games. But
breaking news.
Yeah, my prediction. And I'm going to win the MLB contest. I think I said that on Twitter today, and I'm going to win $100,000 and come out to LA, and Brooke and I are going to get tattoos together.
Yes.
It's about damn time.
It's been a long time coming, Gail.
So
I've said that on the podcast. It shall be.
It's in the ethos. Adrian on Facebook here says, I didn't even drink for Game 5, but I had a hangover the next day. So with that, that's usually... Internally on Dodgers Nation, we all talk quite often about the boozing as a survival tactic. How much booze do you have locked and loaded for this October?
Well, I started stocking up in September because I it's a bit more of an event now to go to the liquor store here because of a lot of the same reasons you guys would be going through with, you know, the masks and the social distancing and that kind of thing. And there's lineups outside usually most of the time. So I started stocking up in September when I saw some sales and knowing that we were going to make the playoffs. But see, now there's different reasons that you're going to want to stock up on alcohol, right? Because it's nice if you are a drinker, you can have a couple of drinks and kind of calm yourself through the stressful times. But I recommend stocking up because I think there's going to be a lot of reasons to be drinking to celebrate as well. Keep a little bit on hand just in case, you know, we might need to drown our sorrows a couple of games. I don't think we're going to go through undefeated, but stock up and pace yourself. And one of the things I do is I've actually learned to kind of practice deep breathing exercises. I know it sounds kind of silly, but just for some different other things I'm working on in my personal life, and I'm learning about that kind of thing and stressful moments. It helps to kind of take a few deep breaths. In past playoff runs, I've made a point of going out for long walks before the games start. Now, my games start here 4 hours later than they do for you guys, so I have lots of time usually in the evening to go for the walks. But I personally find the anticipation leading up to the playoff games worse than sitting through the game. So it helps to kind of go for those walks and get the fresh air and clear the mind, so to speak. So those are some things to keep in mind. We had a few suggestions on Twitter too. When I asked for some of the other pro survival tips, you know, we had our friend Richard Lister suggested weed, and that's always that can always come in handy as well for a lot of the same reasons that alcohol can help. Our friend Todd Munson mentioned that if you're a stress eater, try to switch to something healthy for the later innings. There's no shame in eating spinach straight from the bag, is what he said. So I thought that was a pretty good tip.
Dipped in nacho cheese, though, then it's okay.
Yeah, got to make it a little delicious. Gail, I was at the game two of the 2017 World Series, and that was. Well, I mean, let's call it what it is. That was a hell of a roller coaster of a game. It felt like the entire game that the Dodgers were going to take it. It felt like we were going to go ahead 2-0. It felt like for sure we were winning a World Series, and obviously it takes a dip and a turn. But I remember specifically when Kenley gave up that home run, just thinking about how thankful I was to be able to be at something like that, to be able to have the World Series back in Los Angeles for the first time since 1988. It was just a roller coaster of waves of emotion and thankfulness and being like, you know what, we might not win this game, but I'm really glad to be able to be a part of this. I'm really glad that the World Series is back in LA. Do you feel like that's kind of a good coping mechanism to be like, you know what, this is a stressful time. This is something that's really causing me a lot of heartache and a lot of tugging at the heartstrings, but ultimately I'm just really glad to be here. I'm really glad to have baseball, and especially in 2020 when we thought that we weren't going to have baseball at all.
Absolutely. Brooke, I feel like my positivity is worn off on you finally.
Yeah, it took a while, but it came through. It's finally coming through a little bit, little by little, you know?
But it's funny you mentioned the game two, because I was at games one and two, as I know I've mentioned before as well. And one of the girls on Twitter today, Lindsay Adams, had said she had mentioned that one of her tips is just to enjoy the moments as they come, because we don't know when. We really don't know when we'll get the next one, right? Like you said, we didn't even know we were going to have baseball this year. We don't know we're going to get to the World, even get to the playoffs every year. Mm-hmm. And she specifically mentioned the unadulterated joy of watching Corey Seager go deep off Justin Verlander in that game too, right? I mean, that I was there for that moment, as you just said you were, and it was really my most memorable moments being a Dodger fan, for sure. And even though when we left that night, I felt like all of the energy had been completely drained from my body. I don't think I'd ever been so tired after watching a game. I was still at the World Series, right? Like, we still had those moments. And I have a lot of baseball fans that live around here whose team, I mean, the Blue Jays are going back to the playoffs this year for the first time in quite some time. And other baseball fan friends who are Red Sox fans. You see a lot of Red Sox and Blue Jays fans up in these parts, and they don't feel sorry for Dodgers fans, because we go to the playoffs every year, and we shouldn't take it for granted, I don't think. So
yes.
I kind of just try to, yes, it is easy to get caught up in the moment and get stressed out, and because we care so much, right? If we didn't care so much, we wouldn't feel the stress. But I really, my father reminds me of that every year when the Dodgers are in the playoffs. He said, just sit back and enjoy, because he's been a Dodgers fan since the 50s, so he's seen the ups and downs, and he knows he survived many years of playoff droughts and that type of thing. So
yeah, I'm sure
that's
we
really a good point, just to
sure
enjoy
we,
what we're seeing.
I'm sure we all recently saw Vinny, posted about the Dodgers winning their 8th consecutive NL West crown, and you know, I ended up writing up a post on it, and it turned out to be kind of preachy. It's like, hey, you kids, you should really be enjoying this. Don't take for granted the fact that we keep going back every year, because it will go away. Even if they maybe just miss for 1 year, how empty are we going to feel inside when they miss for that 1 year? So soak it up. Don't let it, don't take for granted even making the postseason. We hear that, you know, your boy. And by the way, the beer is good, like I did say. Your Kershaw beer is good, so we'll find a way to get you some north of the border there, Gail. But
I'd very much like a couple of crates to somehow find their way across the border.
but like Kershaw always says, you can't take it for granted. You know, you never know when it's going to stop. And you know, Richie Hill learned that too, and all that. I mean, luckily he's made it, but he made it in with the AL Twins there, but. Yeah, don't be a dick is what we're saying, fans.
Well, you said it. I won't say it, but I do think that sometimes. One of my friend, Debbie White, who I've met when I've been out at Dodger Stadium, she made a good point, too. She said she actually will sometimes, in the ninth inning, curl up in the fetal position, basically put her headphones on so she can't hear the TV, and then just check in on game day every now and then. And I'll 100% admit that I've done that myself, not just in the playoffs. But sometimes if Kenley comes in and he's having a bad night, sometimes I just can't.
Yeah,
I can't watch.
There you go. There's the professional one right there. That's going to be the most pro tip, because there's going to be heartache Kenley moments. Maybe even he earns the save. There might be bases loaded and one out, and we have to figure out a way for what are your Kenley Jansen survival pro tips.
This is exactly what Debbie just said, is just sort of sometimes I've honestly just taken a pause and paused the game and then taken a peek at game day to see if I can keep watching.
it's cheating. That's what I'm taking. That's cheating.
Well, you know, it's you choose your battles, right? Because it's cheating. You can't put me in the same category as the Astros.
Tim, our boy Tim, is on the stream, and he said his wife walks out when Kenley is in, which is also that's a very smart move.
Just leave. Yeah. Just leave the room.
But I'd had this. Go ahead.
It's just the stress of the moment sometimes. I mean, over the weekend, I didn't pause any of the games, because they had, you know, I loved our brief experience with our stress-free games. I think the last five or six games, or whenever it was that they clinched. I didn't pause the games once, so it's just that sometimes the moments mean so much that it's hard to sometimes see it unfold live. Now, I'm not saying I do that a lot, but it has happened. But in line with knowing that there are going to be stressful bullpen moments and that kind of thing, that's what playoff baseball is, right? So really being prepared and knowing it's going to happen, we should also be prepared for knowing that Dave Roberts, God love him, I do, will make possibly questionable bullpen decisions and or lineup moves that you will not agree with. Don't get yourself too upset about it. Just be prepared, knowing it's going to happen, and try to trust them.
But who are we, especially Brooke and myself, who are we if we can't complain about Dave Roberts?
We're nobody.
Or whatever?
Yeah. We don't matter.
It's 95% of this damn show. It's 150 episodes old now. It's complaining about Dave Roberts.
Well, then you have me that doesn't complain about him. So, although I'm not gonna defend Game 5 of the NLDS last year, I can't.
Understandable, absolutely.
But just knowing that be prepared for those moments that you're screaming at your TV and asking why. There was a joke going around our chat, the Dodgers Nation chat, about people coming up with drinking games during the playoffs. My advice is don't do that. Don't challenge yourself to a drinking game. Like, for example, a shot every time Doc goes to the bullpen, because we need you for the full run. We need all of our soldiers. We don't want to lose anyone.
You're going to get toasty real quick, especially it ends up being like a bullpen game. Doc's ever first ever bullpen game in the postseason. And all of a sudden we're all just going to be really toasty, really quick. But I think some of the positivity with our positivity correspondent here is more rubbed off. We got Charles Hamill in the stream saying, when we lose in the postseason, I still enjoy and appreciate the ride getting there. Don't take it for granted. Some big points there.
We go.
Katie says, you really got to cherish these moments in Dodgers history with the people you love, because you never know how much longer you have with your loved ones to be able to watch Dodger baseball. That's another big thing, too, especially in these weird times.
Absolutely.
Do your best to responsibly watch with friends and family. You might see something huge. You might see a big moment in Dodger history the first time, you know, something's happened in 30 some odd years, or you might see something bad happen that makes you sad, but at least you're doing it with friends and family and loved ones. And you know, you can invite your good friend Jim Beam over for that. We got some Padres fans here in the response, or the comments here, but one of them, I like it. We got how about you guys just win a damn championship for once? And I hope that is the plan. And I think This is the best equipped they've ever been. This is the best Dodger team we've ever seen. And Gail, we appreciate the positivity. And hopefully, when we all are drinking, and when you guys do get tattoos, it'll all be happy tattoos. But either way, you guys might have to get sad tattoos if bad things happen too.
Well, we'll live stream the tattoos. Somebody suggested that we go live from the stadium club. Brooke, what do you think?
I think it's good. I think it's good for viewership. I think people are going to want to see that. You guys want to see me get a tattoo? Yeah, it works, right? Yeah.
And now, where should I get that tattoo?
I've long been planning to get I don't have a single tattoo. I've long been planning to get one when not if the Dodgers win the World Series. It's going to be a little LA logo, I think, on my ankle with a 22 over it or under it or next to it or whatever.
There you go. We're making it happen.
For the obvious reason.
Yeah, they need the design. You guys need a designer on that. So if anybody's a designer, let us know. Shout out in the comments below who wants to design the Dodgers Nation
team
tattoo.
There you go.
D-N-T-T.
We could get a big group going. Yeah, we're going to start something here. I can't believe that you, when you mentioned that I was on episode 10 and now we're at 150.
Wild
time times. Flies when you're doing this. I don't know the better way to say that. I don't know.
Time flies when you're like drinking. A million years ago.
Honestly, yeah. Doing this show every week really makes the weeks go by really quick, and that's probably
really
not a
quick.
Good thing.
That's okay.
Yeah.
That's all right.
It's a nightmare.
Well, I'm happy to have been on again, even if it was 140 episodes later. I feel like I was much better prepared this time and had more productive things to say. Mm-hmm. And like you said, there's been a lot of water under the bridge, with a lot of very, very memorable times as Dodgers fans since then. And I'm absolutely positive there's more to come.
Absolutely. Perfect way to wrap it as we celebrate deep into October. Gail, we appreciate your time. Appreciate you hanging out with us. Go to sleep, damn it.
Well, thanks for having me on, guys. Yeah, it's now tomorrow in Moncton, New Brunswick, Canada. So it's time to hit the hay and get rested up for the playoffs. That's my last tip. Get lots of sleep.
Yeah.
Before they start.
Because we're going to be partying late into the night or being angry late into the night. Gail, that is what's your handle again? At GJ. It's a lot of letters.
H29. Number 29.
GJ. Yeah, Tim Wallach.
There you go.
Tim Wallach.
GJ29. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks,
Gail.
Bye.
That's it. I did there. I did a little bit of.
You did A.
I did a little bit of Canadian.
A little Canada.
You got it. Sometimes you just got to do the Canadian. All right. We're going long. Let's get near the wrapping it up.
This is my favorite part, though. This is the part I'm most excited about.
All right. It's time for regular season awards.
Hell yeah.
And we actually, for the first time, I think ever officially, dug back into the archives and listened to an old episode of what we said.
We never listen to ourselves, ever.
I listen a little bit on the podcast edit.
You do that. I have not heard us in many a moon.
Hey, we're a good show. I don't blame you guys for being here. Like, that's not even being biased. It's just funny. And you know, there's good takes. And some of them in these cases are really bad takes. But so I was trying to find a way to make these like the Dundies. But I only came up with the Blueies. So I don't know. It's kind of weird. Maybe a little creepy.
Blueies.
Maybe a little romantic. I don't know. Whatever it is. If you guys got a better name to make it Blue Heaven or Dodgers Nation and an award and have it tied into, like, you know, The Office and the Dundies and whatever, don't let me know in the comments below. Team MVP. Who is your team MVP, Brook Me 3?
Listen, I really struggled with this one, man. I mean, it's easy to say Mookie Betts. I feel like it's almost so easy to say Mookie Betts that you can't say Mookie Betts. So I gave it a tie. I gave it a two-way tie.
Who's tie?
Between Mookie Betts and Tony Gonsolin.
Oh!
And I got to tell you, I'm really satisfied with that pick. I think I really enjoyed that personally as a
That's
person.
That's solid. Honestly, I would be happy with you just giving it to Tony Gonsolin. Phrasing.
I just feel like you have to throw Mookie in there because okay. He's just so great and might actually win the real MVP. You mm-hmm. kind of have to.
I mean, it's a solid pick because everything what Tony has meant and how good he's been. He's like fifth on the team and wins above replacement. Or
Plus,
something.
Just the fact that he's willing to just step in at any moment and be like, "Yeah, I'll pitch today. Whatever. I'll pitch out of the bullpen today. Dustin May's foot fell off. I'll pitch today. Whatever." I love it, man.
Meow. Mine has got to be CT3 because he's been so good. Well, sorry, along with Mookie.
Okay.
And I would double down if I said Corey Seager, because Corey's great. Corey's been great. He's had a phenomenal rebound year, even though last year was fantastic as well. But what CT3 has meant to this team, to be able to plug in literally everywhere in the lineup and produce at an elite clip or near an elite clip, I can't say you can't pay for that because the Dodgers did. They gave him the 2-year contract extension. Nice guy, friend of the show. But contract section extension is the friend of the show, but for CT3 to do what he's doing anywhere and everywhere in the lineup whenever he's asked, that's something you really you can't really pencil into your lineup ahead of the season because you don't know what you're going to get. You look at Kike every year. Kike is either going to be the starting second baseman or expected to play a big role, and he's been a dud this year. You know, sure, he's come on a little bit more in this last quarter of the season or whatever, but he's been flat. He's been bad, and it sucks to see him leave the team this way because there's no way in hell Kike is coming back. They have no need for him beyond this year. But Megan says it and backs me up on it. CT3 is the most underrated guy on the team, and I think he deserves the MVP for that.
I think Dave Roberts would agree with you.
And he's been healthy.
Yeah, Dave Roberts talked about that a little bit. He's like, yeah, he's been our guy. He's been the guy that he's not on anybody's radar, but all of a sudden everything that's out there is the fact that CT3 is not on everyone's radar, but that's fine. We'll go with it. Best starter.
I'm going to steal yours. I'm going Gonsolin. Even with everything Kershaw's done, Tony's just fun to watch pitch.
I am also going to go Gonsolin because you can't give him the team MVP and say he's not the best starter. I mean, he's been fantastic. He's been wonderful. He's been amazing. I think he's borderline rookie of the year candidate. I'm amazed that people throw Dustin May ahead of him in that conversation. I don't even know how you begin to justify that. But with that being said, I think Tony Gonsolin absolutely deserving of a best starter Dundee Award, whatever you want to call it. I don't know what we're calling it.
I saw a Dodgies. There was a Dodgies in the comments. Mm. I guess that works. It's a little dodgy, I guess.
Yeah, a little dodgy.
Best opener. Bruce Dar.
You mean like people who open games?
Yeah.
Is that okay?
It's Bruce Dar. It's not Joe Kelly.
It's Bruce Dar, man. Bruce Dar. He does the Bruce Dar. His chain falls off. What's not to love about the kid?
Catches it.
I love everything about that person. Everything about him.
He's a good boy.
You think he wants to be friends?
No.
I thought so.
He wants to be lovers.
Oh.
Lovers. Best smile.
Oh, I got Mookie with the smile, man. Oh, that Mookie smile. Listen. I was on the side of I'm not sure if Mookie Betts loves being in LA for the first couple weeks of him being traded here. First couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, man, maybe he's not super excited. It's hard. New school, you know, you're a new kid in town. It's hard. Dude, the way that this guy has absolutely blended with the team and seems like he just loves being here is absolutely heartwarming. Did you go Corey Seager with your favorite smile?
No.
Who'd you go with?
I was gonna go Brusdar. It's a fun smile. It really is Mookie, but Brusdar's smile. It's plus. It's got plus smile stuff. It's projectable.
Yeah,
yeah. It's got good two-seam movement.
two-seam movement smile.
Yeah, smile.
He moves around. Biggest surprise for the year.
Biggest surprise has probably been the bounce back for Pollock.
Easily the bounce back for Pollock.
I like
the bounce back for Pollock. This is a guy who, number one, his story aside, like you take out all of his personal life, everything you've learned about him this year, still a great story. Still a great comeback. Still amazing bounce back from what he did in 2019. Absolutely. After 2019, you're looking at his contract and you're doing, Andy, what the hell, man? And then after 2020, you're looking at Andy and being like, we're building your statue right now as we speak in gold. It's going great. Great story. You add in the fact that he's gone through so much with his personal life, with his wife, with his kid, with him getting COVID and having to stay away from both of them while they were in NICU. There's so much that goes into it. And it's so beautiful, so amazing. AJ Pollock, easily the biggest surprise. We got to go with biggest disappointment. I'm interested to see what you say, because honestly, I look at this and I'm like, there's like three guys that you could easily pick. And I wasn't sure what you were going to pick.
I really don't know what I'm going to pick until I say it. And the first thing that came to my mind, because like, sure, I can crap on Kike again, but it's not a disappointment if he's just doing what you expect.
Yeah.
I hate to say this, because he's a dear friend of the show, former friend of the show, Ross Stripling, kind of a huge disappointment. He had two great starts.
I should point out the fact that you picked him as a potential
Cy
Young candidate, as did several other experts,
Hartung went that way,
several other experts, exactly.
Yeah, John Hartung told us that before the season, but that was dark horse. I was going a little dark horse with it. I thought maybe, you know what, like he and we talked to him in spring training. He was so on that changeup. He was in love with it, and I think it sort of became his undoing this year.
A little bit.
He lost something. Something got lost along the way, but my biggest disappointment was definitely that guy, Mr. Ross Stripling. I'm glad he's heading to the playoffs with Toronto, but.
My biggest disappointment.
Hold on. Drum roll? Don't I have a drum roll? Whatever, it's right there.
Yeah, that's a drum roll. Drums. My dear good friend, Gavin Lux, is my disappointment of the year. If he sees this clip, if he hears me, Gavin, I'm so sorry. I'm not saying that you're terrible or you're bad. I am saying that I expected a hell of a lot from you this year, and I think that that was maybe unfair given your age, given your experience, given the fact that you're still a kid. I expected so much from Gavin Lux this year. I expected second base to be not a revolving door for the first time in Los Angeles in like since D. Gordon, I would say. Unfortunately, that was not the case. Got a slow start, got to camp late, didn't quite catch up in time. And now, I mean, let's be real, facing the possibility of not making a playoff roster. That's my disappointment. I still think Gavin Lux is going to be great. They're going to be great one day. Just throwing that out there.
There are a number of people in here that immediately jumped on the biggest disappointment, because everybody loves to hate, not hate, but, you know, talk something about big. Lamet Slider, Padres fan that's been trolling us, we appreciate you. Said it says a lot that neither of you picked Jock Peterson.
He wasn't really expected to do much in 2020.
Yeah,
the first place. Add in the fact that he's going through a lot in his personal life outside of the field, and you can't really fault him. Honestly,
plus tough. I think like Pollock did so much, even though Pollock hasn't been like the greatest player in baseball or even the greatest player on the Dodgers, but still from where he was. But Pollock has done enough to be that guy who I put in, you know, as the ninth guy in my lineup, where it's like, hey, this guy can get on base. He's batted a little leadoff. They signed him initially to kind of maybe be the leadoff hitter last year. He picked up the slack so much for Jock that it didn't become a black hole, but second base was such a big problem for the Dodgers all season. Not big, but it ended up being
a pretty big problem.
It ended up being the preeminent black hole in the lineup, being that second base spot, because hell, even Austin Barnes learned how to hit. Shout out
by
Mookie
some
Betts.
Miracle. A couple people throwing in Cody Bellinger as well. That's a fair pick. Honestly, you go from NL MVP to what he is now, a shell of himself.
He's turned it on a little bit.
He's slightly ever since we gave him that perfect hitting advice, he started to turn around a little bit.
The dingers have still kind of been there. He probably would have had like a 35 bomb season or something like that. He hasn't been the worst. Megan says Jock has been dealing with shit, so he gets a pass. I definitely agree on that. And with Pollock helping him out, but Hamill says Lux and Muncy, the big disappointments. Muncy, yeah, because, you know, nothing ever clicked for very long for Mad Max.
You know, for a team of disappointments, we sure did pretty good this year.
I know, right? What's up with that, LaMets Slider?
Where we got a lot of Padres fans in our podcast now. We appreciate you guys being here because we like talking crap with you guys.
Yeah, it makes it fun. Yeah.
It's even.
who is your best shoes? Because I know you're a kicks guy.
Oh, dude, I love shoes. Man, this one, I couldn't believe that you did this to me. It was so hard. Number one, I'm going to give special shout outs to people because I think that's deserved, you know, not like everybody. I loved Justin Turner's Kobes. Mm-hmm. I think they were awesome. I think they were great. I think they were perfect timing given the fact that they clinched that day. They got go to the NBA Finals that day. Awesome. Loved them. Mookie Betts, Air Jordans. Swag, dude. Oh my God. Turned all the way up. My goodness. I want to be Mookie Betts when I grow up. But Walker Buehler's Jordan 1s, customized Jordan 1s. The flyest things.
Those were fire.
The most drip I've ever seen in my entire life. I have never in my life wanted to unretire from baseball until that moment.
I would call it 80 grade mound drip.
Oh my God, dude.
Is that the name of the episode?
The guy who made the shoes, the shoe doctor, or yeah, the shoe surgeon is what we call him. He had messaged us, and I was this close to asking him for a pair of those cleats, dude. I was this close because I just really want those cleats so bad. They're so cool.
It's bold of you to ask somebody for something
online.
Free
stuff. Yeah.
Well, since you took all like the Dodger cleats, I guess I have to go off the team.
Going with the Reds guy?
I'm going to have to go Bauer and those trash can cleats.
Oh, I thought you were going with
the free Joe Kelly were cool. Wait, yeah, that was the Reds guy, Bauer.
The other guy, Michael Lorenzo.
Lorenzen had one? Lorenzen?
He had the Vans. Oh. Did he have the Vans? Somebody had the Vans on the Reds.
I don't
like
know.
The these Vans.
Oh, these, yeah, he did have those.
The high
that
top
sounds
ones.
Like a Lorenzen
they
type
were pretty
thing.
Cool.
But
some cool shoes this year.
Well, one of the things I do like with Bauer's thing too, at least like he's auctioning each pair of cleats off after every game and at least, you know, donating to charity with it. So that's kind of cool. Plus he's just slamming the Astros and MLB with them every time along the way. So that's kind of funny. So since you took all the Dodgers, I'll go with Bauer's trash can cleats.
Sorry that I took every pair of cleats that was good.
Oh man, there was a couple more that Gary wanted us to get to. Best play, we did one of these at halfway of the season. Best play,
what do you got? Taylor throw.
Yeah, Chris Taylor's throw.
Not even close.
The CT 93.3 throw throws out. Who was that Padre that he threw out at home to end the game? Honestly, I forgot who it was because you know the Padres are so forgettable.
Just trying
to oh, is that guy? I mean, that guy that went like 2 for 10 after hitting that World Series home run a couple Mondays ago.
Yeah, man, I thought they really clinched that day.
Or like he went like 2 for 24 or something like that.
Whatever, he's back.
That gave me life again. It gave me life once again. It made baseball real. So that was fun.
That was the first play that felt like baseball mm-hmm. was back, and I felt alive. Been a long time since I felt alive, you know.
Yeah, there we go. We got people saying in there, I don't have that button. Chico throwing out CT3 at second. Shout out. Good job with Eddie right there. We give it to him. So we decided to double back and check our preseason predictions just as a comparative as we near wrapping up because I'm pretty sure we both need to pee pretty bad here. In terms of wins, Dodgers won 43 games, tops in baseball. Before the season, they were rated at 38.
38 per Vegas odds.
Vegas odds was 38. So over under, what do I do every time when it's an over under? You guys know who've been watching us for 150 episodes or 120 that have been online like this. I said under, I went 34. I was wrong. I'm dyslexic, numerically dyslexic, so I got the numbers backwards. Do you buy that? You buy that, right? No? Maybe not? Okay.
Sure. Yeah, why not, man? All right. Why not?
Brooke went, you said 38? So you?
I went with the odds. I rode the Vegas odds. All right. They're never wrong, except they were.
Gary made it known. Gary messaged. Gary was going to be here today, but he's still in prison. But he made it known that Gary predicted 42. But he still missed. So, you know, whatever. Whatever. What is normal in Hamill Closet in the chat? Oh, I see what you did there.
What did I do?
You wrote normal and Norma.
Oh, Norma.
And Hamill were closest when we did our predictions.
Norma, who is a consistent viewer of the show, friend of the show, had it predicted right at exactly 43 from what I can tell. As did Hamill at 42 was the next closest, I guess that we could say. Next closest. Hamill had 42. That's close enough. I'll take it. Good job, you guys. We listen. See, we listen. We pay attention, except we don't really, because I also was just not paying attention right now.
This is true. That happens, you know. When in Rome. When in Rome. But on that note, we have gone very long on the show. Fun show. Postseason off day preview, super spectacular 150th episode, Real Bits of Kershaw, Wicked Curve Beer Ultra Show. I don't think I could fit that in for SEO.
That's not going to work.
We appreciate you guys for hanging out. Oh, Gail was another one. Was close. Gail had 42 and 18. That was, I think, episode 133 is what I looked up earlier. But
there you go. Go back and listen to 133 to see if you commented correctly.
Yeah, there you go. That's one way to do it. We're on YouTube.com/DodgersNationTV, so go subscribe there. And if you're looking for more Dodgers content, you can find us at DodgersNation.com. That's a website, and we write Dodgers website content there.
Nailed it.
Subscribe to Blue Heaven on iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Player FM, Pandora, and what's the other one? Oh, that's right. Alexa will play us on Amazon Music or Amazon Prime or whatever the hell it is. That's the part where you read.
Oh, good, man. Guys, I am at BrookMe3 on Twitter and Instagram. This guy is at RealFRG on Twitter and Instagram. We are at Dodger Nation on Twitter, at Official Dodger Nation on Instagram. We thank you guys for being here. This is episode 150. Without you guys, we could not have made it this far. We would have no desire to make it this far. It would suck to make it this far. It would be boring to make it this far. So thank you for being here. Thank you for being a consistent member, friend of the show. We appreciate you all. And we'll see you next week, or maybe this week, depending on what we decide to do. We'll let you know, though.
Yeah, I think we're doing well. Okay, bye.
Bye.